Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. As you go through the book of Proverbs, one of the things that you'll notice is many times Solomon is writing information to his son or his children, and he's admonishing them. He says, listen to me, obey me, do what I'm telling you to do. And, you know, the thing we need to do then is look at that. Not only is what he's saying important for the kids, but it's a very powerful conviction to the parents. Because you got to have something to say in order for them to obey. All right? And if you don't lead them, they have nothing to follow. If you don't teach them the scriptures, they don't know what you're talking about. And so we've got a huge responsibility. And parents who are wise and understanding actively promote missions before their children. As I was this week, Melody and I were reading together in the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is one of the saddest books in the Bible as far as I'm concerned, because the book of Judges, you read over and over again where they didn't obey God, they didn't take control, they didn't kill all the people in there, and God said, don't worship their idols, and they worshiped their idols, and just one after another they were just doing. And what it was, is it happened after the parents who had seen the miracles and the mighty work of God died. And their kids didn't follow suit. And something happened. Somewhere along the line, the parents failed. And so it is here. We've got to prepare our children. You know, if the next generation of missionaries we look at, you know, in our world, incoming missionaries are on the decline rapidly. Incoming preachers are on the decline rapidly. I think of the Bible college that we graduated from. It used to be a preacher's Bible college. Now it's a university, and most of the kids that go there don't want anything to do with preaching. And preaching's only a little tiny corner of what they do now, instead of what they used to major on. Now, I'm not blaming the Bible college. The fault isn't really even in the churches. The fault goes back to the family, the home. And so what we're going to look at here tonight, I'm going to share with you some practical things from my perspective, and I have my wife give me some input on it as well, but things that I think can be a help to you in promoting missions in your home. So first of all, pray for missionaries as a family. You know, this is one of the greatest things you can do for your kids and your family is to pray for missions together. You know, let the children take turns praying for the missionaries. One of the things we did, we had the privilege of knowing a lot of missionaries, and we actually had a photo album that had, I don't know how many, a whole bunch, probably 30 or 40 different missionaries in it. And the kids would take turns. We'd all take turns praying for the missionaries each night during our Bible time. And perhaps, you know, pray for a different missionary each night. Now, our church only supports 3 missionaries at the moment. Now, hopefully we'll be able to increase that in the days to come. But, you know, pray for our missionaries. And there's others that you may know as well that we need to be praying for. We pray for Brother Francois, who is not one of our official missionaries, but he's definitely one of our friends. Then keep missions photo album to aid and whatever you can do. But pray for missions. It's a very important thing. But then secondly, read missionary biographies. There are a lot of good missionary biographies. And I've got a whole bunch, a few of them that I have. Jim Elliott's a missionary to Ecuador, Peace Child. That's a good one. How many of you ever read Peace Child? Peter has, Ruth has. Okay. The Peace Child's well worth reading. I mean, it's well worth reading. It's about New Guinea, Irian Jaya. Sorry?
Distant relative of yours?
No. Yes, there is. Yes. And then Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Seeker, John and Betty Stamm, To the Golden Shore, another excellent, excellent book about Adoniram Judson. Very, very good reading. Then Lords of the Earth is another one that's kind of similar to Peace Child, both in New Guinea, and then there's lots more. But read missionary biographies. Get the kids reading them and talk about them as a family. You can even read one of them as, you know, in part of your Bible time with the kids. And a very excellent way of putting missions in front of our kids. Then we need to ask God to call our children to be missionaries. And, you know, as Peter said a moment ago, we're all missionaries, but we're looking primarily at foreign missions here tonight in that sense. But pray to that end. You know, some parents are afraid to pray to that end. They don't want to because God might take them up on it, and they don't really want their kids to leave home. But make it an earnest prayer request, and then work to that end as you pray. Just ask God, I'll do what I can. You do the work in their hearts, but you know, what a wonderful thing if your kids turn out to be missionaries who are carrying the gospel to the foreign parts of the world and sharing the gospel. That is an awesome responsibility and a very blessed one. And yes, you won't see them very often, but that's not the end of the world. You got all eternity to spend with them. And so get them involved. Then teaching your children the Bible. You know, this is a real basic, but a lot of Christian parents fail right here. Teach them principles and doctrine from the Bible. It's not enough to just take them to Sunday school or even to stick them in a Christian school. They need to be taught the Bible in principles and doctrine. So teach them how to find principles in the Bible. Teach them the Bible doctrines. Don't just teach them the stories. You know, even as I've said this before, you know, don't teach them, you know, just the Jonah and the whale story so they can quote off the story and tell us what's some principles behind it. What can we learn from that? What is it going to benefit us? And let them see how it applies to them. Teach them practical applications of the Bible so that they know how to put it into their life, how to live the things that they've learned. Then train them to live by the Bible. What a wonderful thing to be able to live by the Bible. Let the Bible be our guide. And it needs to be taught them from the time they're young all the way up. You can't start when they're 15. It won't work. They need to be taught right on up. And so teach them the Bible. Then get your children reading the Bible and studying and memorizing the Bible every day from an early age. You know, as soon as they can start to read, they are ready to start reading the Bible. And they may only be able to read one little verse. It's a real simple one. But give them something to read every day so they're reading something from the Bible. Very important for our children to be in the Bible. Studying the Bible, show them how. But the memorizing. You know, kids can memorize far better than us adults. And yet we let those years go by and they miss out on the best time. Kids can just memorize like nothing. And you can just, I mean, you can teach them Bible verses so easily. And as I mentioned a moment ago, assign them their Bible reading each day and check up on their progress. Very important that you check up. You know, it's not enough to just assign something, but you got to make sure they're actually doing it. Kids are just like any of the rest of us. We need that that prompting. And then teach them how to study and learn from the Bible. You know, it goes again back to that first screen that I had there. You can't teach somebody how to do something if you don't know it yourself. We really need to know how to study the Bible. And not just how to read it. Anybody can read. But how to study it. How do you get something out of it? You take a verse and how do you learn something for that particular verse? Look at every verse you read in the Bible. Look at it and say, what did God put it in there for? What can I learn from this? How can it help me? How can this apply to me? What can this do for me? And examine it. And then use your Bible apps and stuff to try to find more information about it. There's all kinds of stuff. And then help them memorize, you know, even one verse a week. They'd have 52 verses down in a year. And you just go over that, and you can go over it in your Bible time with the kids, review it. Mom can review it during the day with the kids when they're little. But to just continually keep the Bible in front of them. It'll help you. It'll help the kids. It'll be a great help. And then review those Bible verses as a family. Make fun time of it, games and quizzes and challenge with them. It's a really important and a good time. Then develop practical skills in your children that will help them to become missionaries. You know, practical things. Some of the practical things I learned growing up on the farm were some of the most valuable tools that I had when we were in Papua New Guinea. Now, building and maintenance. I mean, I'm so thankful. My dad taught me carpentry. I used it frequently in New Guinea. Even things that you think weren't even very practical. I mean, I learned as a kid how to butcher chickens and how to butcher meat and how to, you know, cut up, you know, cows when we were butchering them. And in New Guinea, I was able to use that. I mean, I remember one day the guys in the village had shot a wild pig. It had ventured into the village, and I couldn't tell the tame ones from the wild ones. But as soon as they see one, they said, "That's not ours. That's a wild one." They'd all grab their spears and go chasing after it. Anyway, they got this pig, and they're cutting the thing up. They had their hatchets out there, and whack, whack, whack. I said, "Hang on, guys, watch this. Give me your knife." And I said, "Look at right here in this joint. Comes right apart. You know, whoa, how'd you do that? You know, you don't have to cut the bones in half with an axe." They come apart easily if you know how. And, you know, so I just taught them some basic things like that. So even things like that. Sewing and cooking. Very important for the girls to learn. Not only the girls, but the boys as well. Very helpful. Cleaning. You know, a lot of kids don't have a clue how to clean. They just have mom do it all. Singing and music, all that kind of stuff is very helpful. Gardening is extremely helpful. If you're in some primitive place, you're going to have a garden. If you don't have a clue how to have a garden, you're going to have a hungry time. Either that or you're going to have to hire somebody else to do it for you. But learn how all these, any kind of skills you can teach them. These aren't just a waste of time. They're practical. They'll help them through in life. Even if God doesn't call them to the foreign mission field, it'll be a help to them anywhere. So these are very valuable things. Next thing is to write to our missionaries. You know, make this a family project and get to know the missionaries. You know, send them an email. Get to know them. And, you know, the missionaries sometimes are busy and they don't always answer right away. And these missionaries here don't answer right away, that's for sure. They don't even answer Dad right away, but that's all right. But, you know, get to know our missionaries. Write them and ask them some questions and tell them you're praying for them. And when they mention something in their prayer letter, ask how it's going. Those are important things. You know, there are a few people, you know, since Melody and I are missionaries, we're in the same situation. There are a few people, and I wish I could say there was a lot, but there's a few that write to us regularly and say, oh, I'm praying for that person. You know, we've been praying for that old fella to get saved, and we're praying for this, and we're praying about that, and that situation. And I'm thankful because that shows they really do care, they really do understand, and they really do want to be a blessing. And so they're genuinely praying. Let your missionaries to know that. And tell them a little bit about yourself. Send them a photo of your family or whatever. But to let them know how things are going. Tell them about our church. You know, if you don't have the missionaries' email addresses, I do. Let me know and I'll send them to you. Okay? Then teach your children how to witness for the Lord. That is critical. That really is critical. And yet, sadly, many Christians themselves are not very good at witnessing for the Lord. And we need to take them with us when we witness. You know, take them out door knocking. Go down your street or, you know, I find that my street's probably the hardest street in the whole community to go down. I'd rather go down anybody's street but my own street because people on my street already know me. And so a lot of them already know that they don't want to talk to me about that. But just go down some street. Pick a street and just start knocking on the door. They don't know who you are. And tell them about the Lord. Invite them to church. Give them a track. And, you know, it's a blessing. Just yesterday, Melody and I were in the shops, and I'd just done the church banking, and then Melody was shopping, so I went in there and found where she was. And there was this lady coming out of Woolworths, and she was carrying a New Guinea Belem. And I thought, she was a white lady. But Melody says, hey, that lady's got a Belem. And she says, you go talk to her. She didn't really like going up to somebody like that. So I went up to talk to this lady. She was an elderly lady, a little older than us, and she couldn't hear very good. But I told her, I said, is this a Belem from New Guinea? Yeah. A friend of mine used to be up there and brought me these Belems. Really a good bag. And they were like, a Belem? Okay, a Belem is a bag, a woven string bag. Sorry, I thought everybody knew what a Belem was. Okay. It was a woven string bag that she was carrying. Anyway, I told her about her church, and she said, I used to go to church, but she said, I can't hear very good. And so I said, I stopped going. I said, well, we've got two or three other people in our church that can't hear very good either. So I print out my notes for them and hand it to them, and then they can read along. She says, oh, really? She says, I'll be there Sunday. So we'll see. So now I forgot that Chris was going to be preaching Sunday, so I wrote to Chris and said, you know, I need a copy of your notes. So take them with you witnessing. Prepare them. And teach them how to witness. You know, nothing better than teaching your kids how to tell somebody about the Lord. And if you don't know how yourself, learn. And then memorize witnessing verses together as a family. Another thing you can do that can be very good. Here's another one here. Train your children not to be fussy eaters. That is critical. I mean, you can think, well, it's not important, but Peter and Ruth understand that. They understand it wholeheartedly. And children learn best from parental example. I remember years ago, Melody and I were first married. There was a family in our church, and the kids said they hated peas. I said, how do you know you hate peas? You ever eat them? No, but Mom hates them, so we eat them. All right? And so, you know, don't let that be the case. Teach them to eat everything. Teach them to eat everything and learn to eat unusual foods because it'll help them later on. Fussy eaters can often offend foreign hosts. Very true. You need to be careful about that. Missionaries often have to live on a limited budget and have to eat only the foods they can afford. And so it's important that the kids learn to eat everything that's put in front of them and not be fussy and say, I don't like that. But eat it anyway. Yeah, that's true too. Sometimes you just don't have anything else available. Very true. And so you've got to learn to eat that. And, you know, children can change their eating desires. I remember one of our boys, for years, he didn't like capsicum and onion. And we just said, well, you're going to have a little bit of it every time we have it. And now he loves it. And then he didn't like it. So, I mean, they can change their taste buds as well. So teach them to eat appropriately there. And then develop satisfaction and contentment in your children. That is so important. It really is. This is huge. And greedy people will never be happy missionaries. Never. Because you just can't have everything you want on the mission field. And I think that's self-explanatory. Hudson Taylor said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. And that is so true. God's looking for people that will just be willing to follow Him. Then we need to entertain missionaries. This is something you can do whenever you have an opportunity. Provide housing if you can. I know it's not always possible. Then provide meals for missionaries when you have that opportunity for them. And then have missionaries visit for a cup of tea or with your family. You know, to just spend time with the missionaries. Get to know them. Entertain them. And it'll help you. It'll help your kids to see real life missionaries. I remember many times as a kid, many times, my mom and dad would have people stay over in our house. Often it was missionaries. And it would be... we'd get to know them, we'd get to fellowship with them, and mom and dad would keep in contact with them over the years. And some, you know, when we're back this last time, they're still praying for missionaries they hadn't seen in, you know, 30 years. But they're still praying for them because years ago they met these missionaries. And so it's very important that you do this and then seek to get to know your missionaries personally. You know, we really ought to know them personally. I know that in bigger churches, when they have, you know, 40 missionaries, it's a little harder for everybody to get to know them. But it's pretty frustrating as a missionary to go into a church and the head usher meets you at the door and he says, oh, welcome tonight. You visiting? I said, yeah, I'm your missionary. Oh, yeah, welcome. I was like, oh, yeah, this guy didn't even know who I was. And didn't have a clue. You know? And, you know, either... something's wrong, okay? We need to know our missionaries, know what they look like, know a little bit about them, and then take mission trips. There's another really good way to promote missions in your home. Take mission trips. As a family, if you can take a mission trip as a family, that is awesome. You know, even if it isn't a long way away type of a mission trip, but even when you go locally, you know, one of the things that you can do when you go on holiday, if you can find a good Baptist church to attend when you're on holiday, by all means go. I remember as a kid, I gotta admit, I wasn't real crazy about that because I was kind of a bashful kid and mom and dad would always go to church. No matter where we went on holiday, we'd always find a church. And so here we go, trooping in this church and we're all scared out of our wits because we don't know anybody in there and they don't know us. But we'd go off to their little Sunday school class and they'd ask us questions and we didn't want to say anything, you know. We were scared. But it was good for us. It was good for us. And it taught us some good things. And it was helpful for us. We got to see other places and see other ministries. But then also, send your teens on mission trip. Excellent thing to do. Send them on a mission trip. And mission trips are often life-changing. You know, you talk to young people that have been on a mission trip, and their life is never going to be the same. Never. And I've seen that happen again and again and again and again. It just transforms their lives. Because they see something they've never seen in their life. And it's been really good for them. Then study cultures together as a family. You know, just learning about different cultures. Learning about how people live. Look up information about different cultures. And maybe cook meals from different cultures. Have different kinds of foods for your different meals. And then perhaps study one culture each month. That's another idea. I was just having, like, this month we're gonna study the culture of Japan. And learn about Japan and what do they eat in Japan and how do they live in Japan. And we'll have two or three meals during the month on about Japan, that kind of, and that kind of thing. It'll just help the kids to get an insight of the cultures around the world. And then have the children maybe write a report on the culture and read it to the family. Excellent way for the kids to get involved and to learn more about different cultures around the world. And then David Livingstone said, sympathy is no substitute for action. There's loads of people that are sympathetic and they're happy to, you know, donate something, but they need to get involved. God wants us to get involved. And That's so important. And then have a good world map in your home and refer to it often when you're discussing missions. You need to have a good world map. I mean, it may not be a big wall map from, you know, National Geographic, but I mean, whatever you can get, a good size world map, and then show the kids the places. And when you hear something on the news saying, this is where it was, look at there, it's over there, and this is where we are, and look at how far away that is, and that's, you know, and teach them things about the world map so they can see the geography of it, and it'll be a great help to them as well. So, very important thing in helping promote missions in our home. And then, sacrificially give to missions through your church. You know, that is important. Give, personally give, and then give as a family. Make it a family project. Give them to missions. Maybe let the children earn money for missions giving or something of that nature. But just get the family involved so they can see we got to help and support our missionaries and get involved in that. So these are just some ideas that can be of help to us. And then work to develop strong godly character in your children. That is absolutely critical. It really is. Teaching them to be trustworthy, honest, pure, dependable, faithful, godly, and hard workers, and so on. Sadly, many young people don't have any of that today. They don't learn those kind of things. They sit and play games. They don't learn to be trustworthy and honest and pure and dependable, faithful, and hard worker. You know, a lot of kids don't know anything. All they know is to sit and, you know, poke the finger on their phone games. All right, it takes work to develop character. It's not going to happen accidentally. You know, character. What is character? Character is that determination to do what is right, even when we don't feel like it. And it never happens accidentally. It takes work. William Borden, a missionary to China, said, "If 10 men are carrying a log, 9 of them on one on the little end and 1 on the heavy end, and you want to help, which end will you lift?" What he was referring to is that many times in countries like America or many other countries or even Australia, most people want to support something that's home and local and not too hard and let somebody else take care of the heavy work. And on the mission field, or, you know, let my kids do something close to home, let somebody else's kids go help out far away. And that was the idea that he was addressing there. And then live an example of godliness before your children. Hypocritical parents have done more to hinder and harm children's desire to serve God than perhaps any other vice. And I know that hurts all of us because we all have a certain amount of this in us. But it is absolutely true. Our kids need to see a genuine Christianity in our lives. And it needs to be a help to them and encouragement to them to motivate them spiritually. Never criticize your pastor or missionaries before your children. Pastors and missionaries are humans just like you, and they make mistakes. You need to pray for them. And I remember as a kid hearing, I don't remember who it was that said it, but they said, you know, not to have preacher for lunch every Sunday. And, you know, sadly, in many homes, that was the way it was. They'd go home and, oh, preacher said this, that wasn't right. He didn't do this, and he didn't even shake my hand today. And he didn't smile at me. He looked like, I didn't like his tie. And, and they just picking on the preacher, and the kids hear that, and the kids think, oh, yeah, sure don't want to be a preacher, that's for sure. Yeah, have everybody picking on you all the time. So be careful with that, and never put down spiritual leaders in front of the children. They need to be encouraged to look up to the missionaries and to the preacher. And we're not perfect by any means, but it'll help them and build a desire for them. See, the whole thing we're looking at here tonight is how to promote missions in the home. And we need to work to that end. And then as we conclude tonight, missions begins in the home of godly Christians. We need to ask God to begin the next generation of missions in our home. Ask God to begin it right here in our home. And, you know, that would be a wonderful thing if each of us here tonight would just say, you know, especially those of you who still have children at home, just say, God, begin the next generation of missionaries right in my home. Help me to do what I can to prepare my kids to want to be a missionary if that's what God wants for them. And prepare your own heart to say, yes, I want you to be a missionary. And encourage them to that end. So, as we think about this tonight, I challenge you to just, you know, think on these things. I'll put these notes on the web and so you'll be able to download them if you'd like. But I'd strongly encourage you to ponder over these things. Think of, on how that it could be a help to you and your family to be able to encourage them to become more interested and more burdened for missions.